Well, I want to begin talking about on Thursday. I made a comment. I said, you know, I wasn't going to do this until the beginning of the year because I had some other things in my heart. But, you know, how many of you know the Holy Ghost can change it, you know? And so some things has been working in me about going back and revisiting the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to start off at the beginning and teach it the way I have been instructed to teach it. And the only way I know how to teach it, you know. You know, but let me say this. I might say some things by the Holy Ghost in here this morning that you may have never heard before or even thought about. But I like to say this. Don't be challenged. Allow yourself to be changed. And judge everything that I say this morning according to the Word of God. You know, 2 years ago in January 2013, this particular message was revealed unto me. And one thing it began to do was to break down the religious mindset that I had and break down preconceived ideas on what I thought the word was saying. And so we're just going to attack this thing. I don't know how long I'm going to minister. What I mean by that, I'm not going to minister over an hour. I know that. But I don't know if I'm going to go just 30 minutes or not, because I want to take my time and just really minister this as accurately as I know how by the help of the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk to you about God's big idea. The most powerful thing on earth is an idea. The most powerful thing on earth is an idea. Matter of fact, the whole world is being run by ideas. And if you want to know the truth, the United States of America is being run by dead men. Now, I'm going to say some things to make you think here. The United States is not being run by Barack Obama. It hadn't been run by Bill Clinton. It hadn't been run by George Bush Senior and Junior. The whole United States have been run and governed by dead men's ideas. Socrates, Aristotle, the Greeks, their idea was demokrata, which we get the word democracy. And United States is a democracy. So it's safe to say the Greeks are running the United States of America and they're dead. Y'all listening to me? There's nothing more powerful than an idea. You know, it's interesting, the thing that's gone on with this attack over in Paris. Horrific attacks where they say it's ISIL. You know, that's a terrorist act. And, you know, Satan is a terrorist, has always been a terrorist from the beginning. And that's the work of the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And so they had a correspondent from the White House come on to Today Show. And I'm always listening and paying attention to what's going on the news. You say, am I worldly? No, I'm spiritual. You have to know the world you live in. You have to know your enemy. You understand what I'm saying? And you have to know what people go through in life so you can get the word of God and deliver it to people to help them in what's going on in the world that they live in. And so one correspondent said this. I said, man, that's interesting. He's saying that. And I tried to find it on the internet, the interview, because sometimes they post it on YouTube. And I couldn't find it because I wanted to show it to you because I didn't want you to think I'm making this up. And so this correspondent began to say this. It says, ISIL is just a horrible idea, ideology. And it's just an idea. And she said this. How can you defeat an idea? She said, how can you defeat an idea? She was saying this. You know how you fight an idea? With an idea. See, the answer is not a bullet. The answer is not military might. I don't care how many jihadi Johns you kill. I don't care how many Saddam Husseins you kill. The problem is not the individual. The problem is the ideology, the ideas that these individuals have released. So that means an idea is more powerful than you. And that's why Jesus made statements like this. He would always say, be careful how you hear. Why? Because what you're hearing is producing ideas in the head. And if you release those ideas, they become something powerful that sometimes you can't stop them. Think about what I'm getting ready to say here. Abraham let his wife put an idea in his head on how God's plan was going to come online. And that's why we're fighting ISIL today. Think about what I'm saying. The idea was, this is how God's going to give you a son. And he produced an Ishmael. And the descendants of Ishmael are those people that we're fighting against today. So we're fighting against an idea. We're not fighting against bombs and nuclear weapons and things like this. People hold ideas. But God has an idea. Notice that all the world's problems are just bad ideas or corrupted ideas. It's it. Guns don't kill people. And so you got today people trying to put a ban on guns. Think about, in the light of what I'm saying, the gun is not the problem. The problem is the folks with the wrong idea about how to use the gun. Yep. So you change your mind's idea, and then he will handle the gun properly. That's why they came up with concealed carry. Concealed carry is not so you can walk around and just have the authority to shoot somebody at will. No, they created that to try to create a balance in the mind on the to have the maturity on how to use your weapon. And then try to separate the folks that do have the right idea about the weapon from those that don't. Think about that. Notice that when God wanted to solve the world's problems, he didn't send soldiers. He didn't send a military force. Remember one time Jesus in the Gospels, it says after Jesus fed the 5,000 plus men and women and children, so it could have been about 10 to 15,000 people, some theologians say. But they saw when Jesus did that, they tried to take him and force him to be king. You ever read that in the Gospels? They tried to force him to be king. Well, the reason being they're trying to make him do that is because they see the power that he can do. They're looking at his power and they say, we want to make this guy ruler. Because they look at his power. But God didn't say, that's not how I want to change the world. I want to change the world with the idea, with the mindset. And the Bible says the Pharisees were mad at Jesus one time because he didn't come riding in on a white horse. Because see, they thought when the answer was going to come, that God was going to come in with some type of military might. But God didn't come like that. And so that brings me to this scripture, John chapter 1. Now look at this. Now I'm not making this stuff up. We have looked at the Bible through a wrong set of glasses, through a religious mindset. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to prove it to you. Jesus was not interested in starting a denomination. Amen. Jesus, in his head, didn't say one day there will be Christianity. That was not in his head at all whatsoever. He did not come to establish Catholicism. He didn't come to establish a Presbyterian. He didn't come to establish a Baptist. He didn't come to establish Word of Faith. He didn't come to establish Pentecostal. Now, I'm saying that's the truth. He didn't come to establish socialism, communism, democracy. He didn't come to establish any of those ideas. See, all of those things I just mentioned are ideologies, which actually have become philosophies. See, an idea will create in you a theory, and your theory will turn into a philosophy, and a philosophy is a belief system. Why is that so important? Because if you don't interpret the idea properly, you will come up with your own theory, which creates a philosophy, which is a belief system, which means this. Here's a system, which is a filter. This is the way God explained it to me. In your mind, you have a filter, which is a philosophy, which is a belief system. So now every other idea that you get in your head about how you're supposed to serve God is going to get filtered through that philosophy, your belief system. So if your filter is dirty, you're going to produce that which is dirty. And so Jesus came to correct the filter in men's heads by planting a new idea. One of my favorite movies is the movie Inception. Now, if you've never seen that movie, I recommend you watch it. Because the whole movie was about this. It was about a guy who can go into someone's dreams and plant an idea in his head. And if he was successful in planting the idea in his head, when he woke up with the new idea, he would begin to live out that new idea that was planted in his head. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to plant an idea in mankind's head so they can begin to live a different way. So the way he defeated religion, the way he defeated the Pharisees' doctrine, the way he defeated the Sadducees' doctrine is not by, that's why the Bible says not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus came to implant an idea. And if you take on that new idea, then it will automatically squash the idea that you had in your head. And you will begin to live in a different way. So the problem with ISIL is they don't have the gospel. And I ain't talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about the new birth. You understand what I'm making some statements. I'm just laying my foundation. Get a hold of what I'm saying. We in the body of Christ have taken taken things out of the word of God and made them doctrine. I'm not saying they're wrong, because for the sake of understanding and teaching, we need to understand the complexities of the things and the principles that God is saying to us in the word of God. But trying to understand the doctrines and the principles of God without a kingdom mindset, you can go into error. Because I'm telling you, if everybody understood kingdom, then no one, to get what I'm saying, no one in the body of Christ would think it's absurd when you can tell them if you're sick, God wants to heal you. But the reason why they have a hard time believing that and trusting that is because they don't know the kingdom message. See, Jesus did not teach isolated doctrines on the new birth. We do. He did not teach isolated doctrines on healing. We do. Did you understand what I'm saying? Go look at Jesus. He never said, let me teach you about healing. He never said, let me teach you about prosperity. Am I making this up, or is this y'all reading the same Bible I read? He never did all that. Now, we made a doctrine of the new birth, and Jesus only said that to one man named Nicodemus. So, here's one right here. I'm trying to understand prosperity, but if I try to understand prosperity outside of a kingdom mindset, then I can go into error with my abundance. Because in the kingdom, prosperity is called commonwealth, meaning that if I have a kingdom mindset, which I do, and when God gives me abundance, I automatically know that he's putting this in my hands, not just for me, but he's putting this in my hand to share first. Notice what I'm getting ready to say. Not, this is in order. First, with my fellow brothers and sisters in the body that I'm connected with. Because that's God's plan in the Bible. Acts chapter 4. When they were in the church, there was lack. Did you ever read that? They were in lack. But somehow something happened in the people's mind. They begin to say, man, this ain't all just for us. That's what the scripture said, that when they looked at one another's things, they said they had all things in common. No one said that what they had was there of their own. So I understand this now. Everything that I have as a child of God, I don't own. I'm just a steward. Just a steward. And so now I have to ask the question, what do you want me to do with this, God? Then he will communicate with you on possibly sharing what you have with other believers in that colony, which is the church. I'm throwing out terms and I'll explain myself in a moment. Why? Because God wants that local church to be an exact replica of heaven. And there is no lack in heaven. There is no poverty. There is no sickness and disease. That's why we have the laying on of hand. That's why in the local church, it is everyone's answer to gather. That's why Paul said, don't forsake the assembly amongst yourself. Ephesians 4 said, every joint helps supplies what others need of. So when we gather as a local body, we ought to be manifesting heaven on earth. And in heaven, no one's sick. And in heaven, no one's broke. When we exercise that, that is called commonwealth. And a matter of fact, in Ephesians, it says we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. See, you know those scriptures. And you always wonder what they meant. But you don't understand what they mean if you don't have the kingdom message. But see, when you understand the kingdom and how it operates, then you can say, oh, that's what that scripture is saying. Ah, that's why Jesus said what he said. That's why Jesus did what he did. The most misunderstood man that ever walked the earth and still today is Jesus. We have taken his will, his ideas, and come up with our own interpretation how we're supposed to live them out. That's why there's so much division in the body of Christ. That's why you can be Catholic and be born again, but connected to the wrong wheel. That's why you can be Baptist and truly a citizen and be born again, but you're connected to the wrong wheel. You misunderstand Jesus. But if we can understand Jesus, understand his ideas, and then begin to live them out, how would the world look? I tell you how it would look like. Heaven on earth. It was like heaven on earth. So now look at John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, some of you may know this. The word Word, there, the Greek, it's the Greek word logos. But if you look this up in a Strong's or W.E. Vines, this is the definition. The expression of a thought or the expression of an idea. So if you translate this, you say, in the beginning was the idea, and the idea was with God, and the idea was God. Now, interesting. Now, think about what I'm saying. So you say, what am I saying? Jesus is and was the expression of God's idea. Jesus is and was the expression of what was in God's head. So to see Jesus is to see how God thinks. You wouldn't know what I was thinking unless I gave words. Words actually put clothes on an idea. That's why you have to be mindful what you say out your mouth, because you don't want to give certain things clothes. Because really, when you say something, that's your way of manifesting an idea that was in your head. Okay, to help you understand that, go to, look at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. Now, so that means nothing ever gets created outside of an idea. This chair was in the head of an artist, a fashion, or some type of designer, let's say it like that. It was an idea. But when they begin to put an image with that idea and put words, then they can make it. So it says, without that original idea, nothing was ever made. So that's safe to say, nothing gets made without Jesus. That's what the Bible says. That's scriptural. This building was once an idea in the head of an architect. You get what I'm saying? He just didn't come and say, I'm going to draw this. No, it starts with an idea. So ideas are powerful. Why? Because if you put words on an idea, you create it. And so you have to be mindful what you think. If you always thinking you're not going to have enough, that's what you're going to manifest. If you always think you're going to live from paycheck to paycheck, well, you need to change your idea. If you think God put this sickness on you to teach you a lesson, you need to show enough change your idea, because you're probably going to be dead in a few weeks. Man, this is powerful what I'm saying, folks. Think about this. People think it's the cancer killing them. They think it's the disease killing, the sickness killing them. No, it's your idea that can put you over. If you get the idea in your head that with his stripes, you were healed, not trying to get healed, and that really breaks off, you say, wait a minute, I'm not trying to get healed. I'm already healed fighting symptoms. See, that's a whole different way of thinking. I'm not broke. I'm in the kingdom of God. How can I ever be broke? It's impossible to be in the kingdom, be broke. So I'm not broke. I have sufficiency in all things and about everything. God is supplying all of my needs. How can I say that boldly? Because I know in the kingdom, God takes care of me. That's why he's called Lord. It means owner. Actually, it means landlord. Did you know that? The word Lord means landlord. It means owner, and it means landlord. Overseer of territory. And in Revelation, he calls you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that means if I'm a king, that means I have territory. And the territory I'm over, I'm a lord, meaning I oversee the territory. So if lack is in my territory, as a ruler in my territory, I have to deal with it. I have to kick it out. And I have to be ferocious with that. I can't be passive about that. I can't be weak about this. When am I going to be proud? No, when you rise up and realize who you are in Christ. So everything that exists is the product of an idea. Now look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh. What's the word word there? Logos. And the idea became flesh. And it dwelt among us, and we beheld, or we saw, the glory of God. So, and God, Jesus is the collective. He is the collection of all of God's thoughts in one human body. Jesus is the collection of all of God's ideas in one human body. And when Jesus was born, we actually saw God's will, or we saw God's ideas in operation. We saw what he thought about sin. We saw what he thought about condemnation. There was a woman caught in the very act of adultery. They bring her in and they say, what do you say we do? Basically, this is what they didn't realize it, but they were asked this. What is your idea about this? And Jesus demonstrated what he thought about it, because this is how his father thought about it. He said, you that's without sin, let you throw the first stone. And they walked out one by one and no one was left. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. He said, neither do I. So God is not accusing anybody. He is not making anybody feel condemned. Now she's caught in sin and God knows it, but he still never condemned her. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go, but don't sin anymore. He didn't say just go. He said, go and don't sin. Meaning that Jesus was not passive. He said, look, don't sin. That's grace. See, grace will tell you you're free, but also grace on the flip side of the coin say, don't sin. He told one man one time, healed a man, didn't even know. He didn't know who healed him. And Jesus purposely found him. He said, look, you have been made well. He said, but don't sin unless a worse thing come on you. Let me read that in the Bible. So Jesus was saying the reason why you were sick is because you were involved in sin. And Jesus personally found him and told him that. But this is awesome about God. Jesus would never have, you can't qualify for the goodness of God. Because Jesus told us basically the reason why this man was sick, because he was in sin. But Jesus walked up to him and healed the guy. He didn't even have to repent. See, that's grace. But then grace will tell you, I freed you, but then live godly. Because the Bible says in Titus that the grace of God teaches us how to deny ungodliness. But anyway. So you have a will and you have a testament. That's why your Bible is called the Old and New Testament. Will means ideas that have not been written or revealed on paper. When you put it on paper, it's called a testament. Because a lawyer will tell you, you need to draw up a will. Now, he says you have one, but it's just in your head. And long as it's in your head, it's illegal. He said, but when you put it on paper, it becomes a legalized document. Thereby, when you die, you have recorded your ideas on paper and it becomes a legal document, and then we can enforce it. And so right here in your hand, this is not a religious book. This is a legal document containing the ideas that are in God's head. This is not a religious book. It is actually equivalent to the Constitution, your United States Constitution. This is your Bill of Rights. Amen. You know, you got certain groups of people fighting, say, we were fighting for our rights. But everybody have the same human rights. Right. Everybody does. They're ignorant. The devil has convinced them, saying, you don't have any rights. You do have rights. But you just don't have the right to marry the same sex, according to God's law. You got the same rights as me. You can get medical. You can get dental. You can get vision. But you just can't get it with the same person. But you still got the same rights. So really, you're forfeiting your rights. Because you don't rightly want to rightly align with God's law. Now, So God began to fight an idea with his idea. Now, Romans chapter 12. Now, look at this. This is still my foundation. So that, like I say, I might not minister past 35, 40 minutes, you know. But Romans 12, Paul was a kingdom ambassador. And I'm going to show you. Notice what he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. See, you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice by the mercies of God. And I don't have time to talk about that. But anyway, it says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or one translation, which is your spiritual service. Notice what he said in verse 2. Now, look at this verse in the light of what I've been talking about an idea. And do not be conformed to this world. So now what is Paul talking about? He said, don't take on the world's ideas. Don't be a carbon. Actually, the word conform means carbon copy. How you can become a carbon copy? Don't let the world's ideas imprint on you and have an impression on you. Because if you do, you will become just like the world. But then Paul said this, but notice what he didn't say. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice what Paul didn't say. He didn't say be transformed by getting a new mind. Because you got a lot of Christians walking around here saying, I got a new mind in Christ. No, because Jesus didn't want to give us a new mind. I'm saying some stuff. I'm being very accurate, line upon line, precept upon. Matter of fact, precept, the word pre is a prefix that we put on the beginning of a word to change the grammatical structure of a word. So word pre means before. The word sept means thought. And David said, teach me your precepts, O Lord. So what David was saying is, teach me the original meaning of your idea. That's what that means. That's why the Bible says it's line upon line, precept upon precept. So in order to really get a hold of what the word is saying in our lives, we have to understand what was God's idea. So Paul says, be renewed. The word re means to go back to the original state, right? So when Paul says renew, what he's actually is saying is be restored back to an original, which is something that's not new. Come on now, y'all getting a hold of what I'm saying? So if we had like this room, if it looked one way and some kind of a reason it just got messed up and, you know, just holes in the wall and all that kind of stuff, you know, we'll hire some contractors. We'll say, well, can you fix all this? Can you fix the holes in the wall and stuff? They're not changing it, are they? They're renewing it. They're just restoring it. And so when Jesus came, we had holes in our mind. Holes. And he says, I'm just not coming to give you a new one. Because how many of you know, realize that when you got born again, you didn't get a new one. And Paul said the solution is now you have to renew or restore. Patch up the holes. So this is the interesting thing. The idea of God is as old as time, but it's as fresh as tomorrow. Now, that's a powerful statement. If you don't get anything else I said, just say, if you get a hold of that and meditate, it'll change your life. The idea of God is as old as time, but is as fresh as tomorrow. Now, I know I'm jumping ahead of myself. I was in a meeting one time, and when 2 years ago, I started ministering on this, probably maybe about 6 months after this particular message was revealed to me. Because I wanted to research it for myself. What I did, I got on Wikipedia, I got on the internet, and I began to research kingdoms and how they operated. Because I wanted to be right when I taught this, right? You have to be right when you teach something. And so you say, well, yeah, that's a private state. No, it's not. If God put you, made you a teacher, you got to be right. Unless you be like the blind leading the blind. Just because there's some churches that are full on Sundays or wherever they meet, don't mean they're in the will of God. Jehovah Witness ain't in the will of God. You say, how can I say that? They're not in the idea of God. That's what I'm really saying. The Mormons, they are packed. They highly influence the United States. There's a lot of them. But they're out of the will of God. You say, how can I say that? They don't have the idea of God. So don't get fooled by the numbers. Because Jesus said this, the tares and the wheat, they grow together. So, yeah, that's where I was at. I was in a meeting, and we weren't even talking about the kingdom. And there was another man in that same meeting, and out of the blue, and I knew it was a direct attack against me because I just had ministered in this person's conference. He said, if you really study the word of God, Jesus said we shouldn't even be teaching on the kingdom. And he misinterpreted a verse. And he's talking about over in Matthew chapter 25, when the disciples asked Jesus, when will the end come? And Jesus said, you'll see famine, you'll see earthquakes. Basically start saying you'll see all these natural catastrophes, right? And then he says, but these all are all the beginning of birth pains. And then Jesus actually said this. He said, this gospel must be preached in all of the earth. Matter of fact, I'm quoted. Thank you, Lord. He said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of earth, and then the end will come. Well, that guy misinterpreted what Jesus was saying. See, you can misinterpret Jesus. If Jesus did not want me, now I'm using me, but when I'm saying that, think about yourself. If Jesus didn't want me teaching or mentioning anything in the kingdom, why did the Holy Spirit record everything that came out of Jesus' mouth for me to read? Every time Jesus got up and taught, he would start his message like, the kingdom of God is like. If the Holy Spirit don't want me saying anything about the kingdom of God, why has he let my eyes rest on those scriptures? And really, we've been so vague in the body of Christ. We say, we got the gospel, we got the gospel. There's a whole bunch of other gospels out there. Did you know that? The word gospel, the simple Greek definition means good news. But Jesus identified what his good news was. He called it the good news of the kingdom. So when Jesus said gospel, they knew what he meant. Okay, let me help you. Galatians 4:4. We have that written down there? Go to Galatians 4:4. I just want you to see this scripture. I don't want you to think I'm making some things up. Galatians 4:4. You got to ask this question. How come Jesus wasn't born in 2015? Come on. He said it. You said it wasn't the what? Right time. So, but look at this. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law. Now, the thing about it is, he said that he wasn't the right time. So in God's head, he said, this is the perfect time for me to send Jesus. Now, who is Jesus? All of the collective ideas of God in a human body, right? So why did God say this is the perfect time? I'm glad you asked. Because in the time that Jesus came, he was born under a certain government. He was born under the Roman Empire. That's important. You say, why is it so important? Because the Romans was the only form of government that actually colonized wherever they went. Did you get what I just said? They were the only form of government that colonized where we went. Matter of fact, when Rome took over territories and land, they would send 300 of their citizens into that new territory to occupy and to take it over. And that's why this statement came, all roads lead to Rome. So God said, that's it. That's the backdrop I want to use because that's my original idea, colonization. You were never put on earth to go to heaven. That is the false doctrine of Christianity, that you're supposed to get saved so you can go to heaven. Find that for me in the word. And I used to think that and had no scriptural basis. Okay, let me help some of you. Man was put on earth, right? I mean, everybody understand that. You read Genesis, right? So let me ask you another question. When God created man, did he create him to live or to die? So God said, you will live forever unless you eat of that tree, right? Right? He said, but when you eat, you'll die. So God's original plan for was man to actually choose life. Remember, there were two significant trees in the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'm going to explain it to you because some of y'all been wondering till today. What is that? What was that tree all about? I'm going to tell you. Because see, if you don't understand kingdom and how they operate, you wouldn't understand that what he's talking about in the garden. So when man, as long as man obeyed God, he will live forever. So it's safe to say this. Man was never meant to actually go into heaven. If he was never going to die, he would have stayed on earth. He never would have went to heaven. Heaven is just a temporary holding place for the redeemed, those that have called on the name of the Lord. Because the book of Revelation says, John said it, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. And your body is going to be a replica of the new state of the earth. No more decay. When kingdoms, Genesis 1:26, God said, let them have dominion. The word dominion is the Hebrew word rada, which is the Hebrew word kingdom. So God didn't give man a religion. God's idea for man wasn't for him to get up and say, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Word of Faith Pentecostal. He meant for you to get up and say, I'm a citizen of my home country. It's called heaven. Paul never referred to us in his writings as Christians. We do. He said, I write unto you saints and fellow citizens. He always referred to us as either saints. The word saints means redeemed. He would have been cleansed by the blood. That's what that means. And then he says, we're fellow citizens. He never said, I write unto you Christians. Because actually in the Ephesus, the Bible says it was there at Antioch they were first called Christians, and they didn't name themselves Christians. It says those on the outside used that as a derogatory term to mark those who act like Christ. So they call them Christians. So really, we shouldn't go up to each other and say, are you a Christian? We should ask them, are you a citizen? Isn't that what Jesus was conversating with Nicodemus about? See, Nicodemus was a religious man, and he wanted to know, how can you do all these miracles? You must be a man who is sent. Notice what his conversation was. He said, you're sent from God. No, y'all didn't get what I just said. He said, you're a man sent from God. See, you came from heaven. Every human, you are a spirit that was sent from heaven. To live on earth and to influence earth with heaven and not to try to get earth into heaven. See, Jesus even said it. This is your priority in prayer. You pray for colonization. Come on now. He said, your kingdom come, thy will be done. What's will? Ideas. Let your idea be done on earth as it is in heaven. So really, when you pray, you should say, Lord, I'm praying for my job. This is my territory. I'm praying that this job be colonized, this area be colonized. Let more believers come in this place. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this place as it is in heaven. See, he wanted heaven to influence earth, not us trying to get up into heaven. Have you ever heard people say, Lord, just take me from all this mess. I just want to go to heaven and there'll be no more problems. Well, you got the wrong ideology and you're being defeated because that's Satan's plan is to get you off the earth. Ooh, that's good what I said. Satan's plan is to get us off the earth. Because if he gets us off the earth, heaven can't come. So, come on. That's why he will try to oppress you. That's why he will try to possess you. And if he can't do any of this, he'll try to kill you. Because if he oppresses you, that means he's oppressing you in your mind. And he's putting his will, his ideas in your mind. And you will colonize the kingdom of darkness. But then when he possesses you, we call that demon possession, when he totally takes over your life and you're totally in his divine will. And you need the power of God for that. See, that's why we have the power of the Holy Ghost. See, sometimes when we go into a territory, it's hostile. And we need an ability outside of our ability to deal with the ability of the devil. That's what the power of God is for. But once we use the power of God to deliver people from the influence of the enemy, then we're supposed to colonize with the fruit of the Spirit. That is the culture. Gentleness, love, meekness, self-control, love. That talks about culture. But you can't operate in that culture if you that's what the madman of Gadara is about. Think about that, folks. He said, I must go to the land of the Gadarenes. The Bible specifically says that. He was going to a territory to release the control of the enemy over a territory. But how did he do it? When he delivered the man. Satan lost territory. Satan can only take territory if he gets people. Right. But when people get saved and born again, he just lost territory. And Jesus talked about it. But because we don't we've let the word kingdom be a cliche. I'm part of the kingdom. And you don't know what kingdom is. You know you don't. Because you hadn't studied it out. And I know most of you probably hadn't studied it out. You say, how can I say that? Because you're born in the Western world. You're westernized. You have a Western mindset. And the United States rejected that form of government. Because in a kingdom, there's only one person in power and you don't vote him in. You don't vote him in. And the United States said, we're not getting that one because what if we get a wrong one in there? Now you understand what the word says. When the righteous man is in power, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man's in power, the people don't rejoice. Why? Because if you get a one unrighteous ruler, it's hard. It's going to be hard for the people because the way it's structured. But just because you get bad apples in the apple cart don't mean you throw away the apple cart. See, there's nothing wrong with the structure. We just have to have the right king in authority. And the right one that's in authority, his name is Jesus. See, that's why everybody needs Jesus. Because if everybody gets Jesus and they understand what was in his head about colonization and bringing heaven to earth, then people yield to that, the devil will be insignificant. You say, how can I say that? Because the devil was already in the garden. Now I'm getting ready to make a statement. Paul said, be transformed by taking an old idea that is as old as time, but fresh as tomorrow. You get a hold of that, you'll actually be transformed. But be transformed into what? Back to the original state of being a king in authority. So now you know what Satan has done. He gave mankind a new idea. So the world's problem is they're living by a bunch of new ideas that God never introduced to man. So in order to be set free, we're not looking for no new revelation. Think about that. We say, I want to get a new revelation. No, it's a revelation to you, but it ain't new to God. Because remember, it's as old as time, but as fresh as tomorrow. So when it comes fresh and new in our mind, we think it's new, but it's not new. It's old. Like when I really studied, every time, now study Jesus. Now Jesus is the one who gives gifts unto men and he tells them to go preach. Even Ephesians talks about this. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men and he named them. He named five specifically pulpit speaking gifts. That's the way I understand them. Ones that he anoints in the body to speak to the overall general population. But what I found out is if you're really called by Jesus, you will say the same stuff he said. Because the Bible says he first called 12. And he sent those 12 into cities and towns to go preach what he himself would preach. And this is what he said. As you go preach, say this. Now, come on now. Y'all never read this. He told them what to preach. He said, when you go, say that the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely you give. So he told him what to preach. He said, preach what? The kingdom. And then the Bible says he called 70 others to himself. And he sent them out to go preach what? The kingdom of God. So all the preachers that have been called by Jesus, we should all be preaching the same message. Ain't nothing new. But see, we want to be prideful. We want to say we got this fresh revelation because we're trying to draw people unto ourselves instead of just really drawing people to Jesus. Because what I read, there are 84 people. The word 70 is the word 72 in the Greek. So Jesus handpicked 84 folks and said they preached the same thing. Okay, prove it to me. One time, Disciples went to Jesus. One of them said, Lord, we found somebody preaching the same thing you preaching and baptizing. Like John. You want us to deal with him? Now, y'all ever read that in the Bible? Now, that's interesting. Now, why is he acting like that? He's acting prideful. He said, look, we were handpicked by you, Jesus. You didn't handpick him. I'm saying this for a reason. So this guy must have observed Jesus and his disciples and what they were preaching and looked at the impact of that message. And he said, man, I'm going to go and preach the same thing and do the same thing, even though Jesus didn't tell him. But the disciples had a problem with it because they were specifically called by the Lord. And Jesus said this, anyone that's for us is not against us. You remember he said that? He said, leave him alone. But I wanted to show you, this guy didn't come up with his own message. He started preaching the same thing that he saw Jesus' followers teaching. You see the point I'm trying to make? So this, God's idea was to bring a kingdom. That's why you have interchangeable terms in the Bible like kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. When you read kingdom of heaven, it's talking about the influence of your country where you're from. Did you know heaven is a country? People ask you all the time, what is heaven like? Tell them it's a country. Because that's what the word says. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says those who left their own homeland sought a better country, a heavenly one. Heaven is a country. It ain't a place where people floating on clouds and playing harps. I mean, they might have harps up there and they're playing them, but it's a country. It's a government. They have a king. God is the king. Jesus sits on the throne. He's there. And there are other saints, fellow citizens that are entering into that home country. But they're not going to stay there permanently. They're coming right back. But it's an actual country. It's a real place. You know, I want to get off on that right there. Now go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Actually, Brother Jerry, let me find this scripture real quick. If I can find it real quick, I want you to throw that one up there first. Because then we can understand. Yeah. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28 through 30. If you look up the word Christ, the Greek definition of the word Christ mean it doesn't mean just anointed one. If you look it up, it means anointed king. Matter of fact, the terms anoint, bless, glory, all that terminology was used by kings and kingdoms. But look at Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 28. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I have heard for years that they say Jesus was talking about his anointing. That is not what this is talking about, because I got a parallel verse we're going to show you in a moment. He says, take my yoke upon you. And learn from me. Notice this. If the yoke was the anointing, why would he say you have to learn? It's the reason why I say what I say. Because anointing is yoke destroying, burden removing power. So if the power is going to remove your problem, you don't need to learn. It's already taken care of. But he said this yoke you're going to receive, you're going to have to learn of it. Isn't that what he's saying? Take my yoke and learn. So learning has to do with the yoke he's going to give us. And he says, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's about 7 billion people on the planet, they say. I don't know how they do the census. But you know, but this is safe to say this. Every human on the planet is looking for the exact same thing. You say, what do you mean? Now think about this. I want you to think here, because I made some statements. And some churches I go into, I can't talk like this for this reason. Because they'll say, you're talking about politics, and I'm not. Every human on a planet is looking for a government that'll take care of them. That's why over the known world, every few years, millions and millions of dollars are used to get a new person in that office to change the government. Every 4 years or every 8 years, we change persons. But what are they presenting to us? Their ideas. And people say, let's elect him, let's elect her, because they'll solve our problems. It is natural for you and I to depend on a government to take care of us. Now, come on now, you got to hear what I'm saying. It is natural for you and I to look for a government to take care of us. Why? We were never created to be independent of a government. See, when a kingdom would come in and take over a territory, let me just use an example. You can go research this. I did. What I did, because God revealed this message to me when over in a country that it was colonized by Great Britain, Guyana. Guyana, Bahamas, Trinidad, all of them were colonized by the kingdom of Great Britain. That's why they speak English. Now get a hold of what I'm getting ready to say here. Over in the Bahamas, the weather, the temperature is around about 90 all year long, right? But here Great Britain comes in, and they tell, and these are people of African descent. When they come in and take over that territory. So when Great Britain took over the Bahamas, if a person that lived in the Bahamas and they had babies, you couldn't tell your baby that they were born in Bahamas. That's not what went on your birth certificate. I'm saying some stuff here to get you to think. So if you had a baby, you know you in the Bahamas. But on the birth certificate, it doesn't say your baby was born in the Bahamas. It would say this: you were born into the territory of Great Britain. Because Great Britain took that territory and began to colonize it. So whenever a kingdom would come in and take over territory, they would send a governor. And the governor, he knew all what was in the head of the king. And they would make him a house. Now, the people in that territory would build that house for that governor. The house was built by the governor's head, a home country. So he would live in that house. And the first thing the governor would teach the people is a language. What did Jesus say the first thing the Holy Spirit would do when he comes to live on the side? Teach us a language. He's not talking religion. The Holy Spirit is a governor of the kingdom. He is the governor. Right? So in the garden, the governor lived on the inside of Adam and Eve. But when Adam declared his independence from God, that's what the trees meant. God wanted him to choose the tree of life over the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is what Adam said. And this is what the devil got them. This is the greatest temptation of the devil: self-doubt. He said, you shall be like God, and God knows that you, if you do this, you'll be just like, but they were already like God. He got them to doubt it. And so when he doubted and he chose from that tree that God told him not to, what he was doing is he chose independence from the kingdom. And whenever a kingdom has you're going to do your research. When the Bahamas rose up and declared their independence from Great Britain, the governor had 24 hours to leave. That's why you read in the Old Testament, when Adam sinned, the Holy Spirit left. And then in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit would use people, he would just come on and for that specific moment, use them and then leave. Because if not, if he would have stayed, he would have been illegally representing. You see what I'm talking about? So this is what salvation is about. Jesus said, this is the job of salvation, to cleanse the house and to make it clean. But what was the house he's talking about? This. He said the Spirit of God was never meant to dwell in temples made by men's hands, but he was designed to live in one. It says your body is the temple. See, that's why Jesus said, when I die, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he will come and live with you and inside you forever. Because he restored the kingdom back to mankind. And when you and I say yes to Jesus, now our body becomes a legal place for him to live in. And you didn't make your own body. God made it. Because a governor would never live in a house made by the people in that colony. But once you declared independence, he had to leave. That's why he left in the Old Testament. And that's why Jesus had to come in the form of sinless flesh. Because he restored everything. And so the Bahamas, here it is, 90 degree something weather, Jared. And this is what the king, now they never, a lot of them, they never saw him. They never saw the king. The king never visited, the king of Great Britain never visited the Bahamas. Never. They had to take the governor's word for it. You get what I'm saying? No one has seen God at any time. But the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit tells us about the king even though we've never seen him. We got to believe it. We got to trust it. So here those over in Bahama to this day, they drive on the left side of the road because in Great Britain, that's the side of the road they drive on. In the Bahamas, they're wearing neckties in 90 degree weather because in Great Britain, they're wearing ties in 30 degree weather. They drink tea three times a day because the king and queen drank tea three times a day in Great Britain. They still do those things today. You get the point I'm trying to make? When a kingdom takes over a place, their objective is to colonize it and make that new territory an exact replica of the kingdom itself. So when God created the earth, he wanted the earth to be an exact replica of heaven. Now I'm going to ask a question and I'll be done. If you had heaven on earth, why would you want to go to heaven? And I'm done. And I'm going to pick this up next Sunday. This is some good stuff, folks.
Yeah, it is.
It'll have you look at these scriptures totally different. Because what it did for me, it exploded my understanding. See, I went to Bible school. You said, why is it so important? I had all these scriptures in my head. We went to Bible school. We had all this knowledge on the inside of us. And some things just left questions. But when I started getting hold of the king, I said, oh, that's why Jesus said that. That's why Jesus did that. I got excited. This Bible became a new book to me. And I stopped, and I changed some things in my life. I don't call myself, you got to break out of it. It's a process because we've been indoctrinated. We can't call ourselves Christians. You say, what's wrong with that? It takes away from the kingdom mindset. But if we go around calling each other citizens, it's a whole different mindset. Because now you start thinking I have rights. Because every citizen has rights. When it says all the promises are yes and amen, those promises are rights. And we looking for this natural government to take care of. I want to get on Obama's health care plan. Think about what I just said. I know I said I was going to shut up. But look. Why do you think Obama came in and said, we need to get a universal health plan? His thinking is right. Did you get it? But in that Babylonian system, when you have men who try to corrupt a pure idea, it won't be perfect. Because you know they have other things, a bunch of lies that say it'd be cheap and be affordable for everybody. And when it came online, it wasn't. Because you can't do what God's wanting you to do outside of Jesus. So Benny Hinn and all others who have been anointed in the area of healing, they work for the health department in our government. Because when medicine fails, you got to go to the government. Come on, y'all seeing this with me? When no one has food, who do they go to? Star Hope. They go to these entities that were created by the government. They're supposed to offer aid and assistance. Miracles are divine assistance from your government.
Amen.
That's what a miracle is. 5,000 plus people didn't have food, and Jesus said, you feed them. Really? With what? Jesus said, he didn't look down, did he? He didn't even look at what he had in his hands. But he took what he had in his hands, and he looked where? To heaven. Because he knew in his government, there was enough food to feed everybody. So you have a paradigm shift in your mind, and you have to think that you're not part of a religion. You're part of an actual government, and your government lets you go down. So now I have to finish this because I will do you a disservice. The yoke that Jesus was carrying was not the anointing. The word yoke here is not talking about, see, sometimes when I say yoke, y'all, you know, is a yoke of oxen with what's his name? Elijah and Elisha, the yoke of oxen. But he's talking about a human yoke. There are two types of yokes. Ones you put on animals and ones you use as a human. You put it on your what? Shoulders. So the human yoke you put on your shoulders to carry, to make what you're carrying lighter. He said, my yoke is easy and the burden of it is light. I mean, you can carry this one. And Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, a savior, and upon his shoulders, he'll be carrying what? A government, not a religion. He was carrying the government that Adam lost in the garden, and he said, take it. Not everybody's taking it. He said, take my yoke. Not everybody's taking his government, but they're taking religion.